Good morning. Today is Monday. Boy, August the 10th already. Joining us this morning, you realize next time we get together, school's going to virtually be in session?
Hey, that was
Chris
good.
Chris Hartley.
You're sharp this morning, sir.
Yeah,
that was right out of the gate.
Well,
it's going to be a long show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I made the first meter. In that 100 meters with outstanding speed. I think I'm falling behind already.
Yep, it's Olivia Newton-John, let's get virtual.
Yeah.
We can just keep this going.
Yeah, but we probably shouldn't.
Let's stop.
Chris Hartley's alongside Winston. Why do we say it?
All right. You want an easy one or a hard one?
Easy.
Okay. What is the reason twins joined together by flesh or bone are called Siamese twins?
Those
holy cow.
Oh shoot, I should know.
It has nothing to do with the cats. We know that.
No. It was the Siamese, the twins that were conjoined from China in the 1800s that
That's
came
right.
over, and they were the first ones
from the region.
Yeah, was that Barnum that did that? Or Ripley?
No.
I'm gonna say Ripley.
Yeah, I don't think Barnum did anything.
No, I don't think so.
It's just a phenomenon.
I think
discovered
Ripley in his newspaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Winston, hit us with the truth.
It's because Chain and Ain, the first of these twins, were born in Siam. These twins were joined at the waist, eventually settled down as farmers in North Carolina.
Hey, you know what? Today's
going to be
a good day.
And had two separate families.
I think that's the first one we've ever gotten. And it took two of us.
Yeah, well, sort of. Isn't that appropriate?
Well, see, we're on a roll.
Yeah, no kidding.
So...
What is the status? I'm sure everybody's asking. Is there going to be? Is there not going to be?
As far as schools opening and what everybody's doing.
And some of the well, we'll get into some of the details in a bit.
Well,
overall, is there consensus? Is there a trend for the county schools?
If you were to look at a trend, it would be most of the districts are choosing to start off with distance learning. If you surveyed and kept track of all the formal decisions that are being made, that's the typical approach, but not the only approach. We have some districts that are starting with on-site learning, and those boards are feeling comfortable with those decisions, and they're making the right plans to put that into place. So we have a mixed bag in Humboldt County. Keep in mind, you know, a lot of people ask me at the county office, like, well, what are you doing for opening schools? And we have to
or
always
what do you
remind.
Are you even in a spot of being able to recommend?
Well,
or
we
is this really the school
help
boards?
People decide based upon their geographic location, their demographics, their technology access, how well equipped they are for health and safety. So there's so many factors, you know, that go into it. It's really a district by district decision, and we've been there to support and guide and really partner with public health on creating those standards.
Have you been surprised at some that have said yes and others that have said no?
No, not really. Not
kind
really.
Of the logical ones.
Yeah, I think so. And again, it's comes to each community and each school board's ultimate decision to make that call, and. It's interesting being a county like Humboldt because we're not on the watch list. So we actually have the choice. One of the very few counties
in
the state.
Maybe we do.
Right now, today, at this very moment.
Talk to Billy about that. Yeah, you have your own choice.
You know, but if you're – well, what I mean by that, it's an important distinction. If you're a watch county, and as per the governor's instructions, you have to start the school year with distance learning. So – Just over 90% of the students in the state of California are starting with distance learning because they don't have a choice. We're one of the few counties, and most all the counties in the northern part of the state are not on the watch list. And so we have the option of doing distance learning, on-site education, a blend, and that's not the norm for the state.
So you really can't look... Boy, is this a stupid statement. You can't look to Sacramento for normal. Duh.
Well, it's you know, the decisions that was made at the state's affecting over 90% of the students. So why not just affect 100% of the students? There's that. But it's because the data in our county shows that we don't have the statistics to be a watch county, which is good.
Until something changes in about 4 or 5 days, if you're in one of those counties,
well,
and either you become or you get off
the
list. And now, and I suppose that's part of the challenge with the planning and the anticipation is that it's not consistent.
That's been the challenge since day one. that this ball has been bouncing and moving, and sometimes we can sort of predict where it's going, and most of the times where we can't, right? And so I think that's the case for not just education and schools, but for public health, for medical, for local business, for people deciding how to recreate, spend time with their families. I mean, personal and professional decisions across the board. This has been a tough one to get any sense of normalcy, right, or any consistency.
Well, and as you're looking at it, too, you know, for the parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what is it, what isn't it, how does that ripple into the work scene for the kids?
Yeah.
School buses. There was a discussion, I forget which of the programs this weekend, I was kind of walking through the room and heard a discussion about school buses. Well, if they do this, then it's that, and if it's this, then their capacity's, you know, like a third.
Yeah, about that.
Are the school districts going to run buses? Or are you guys even recommending that they run buses?
Yeah, we can run buses. You know, working with public health, we've created the health standards around what that looks like. And social distancing obviously limits the number of passengers you can have on a bus.
So you're not using the airline model.
Right.
You're using a different model.
And you have
that's part of the discussion, too. You have 6 inches in an airplane.
Yep.
But in a school bus, it's how far?
Well, the standard for most classroom spaces is 6 feet social distancing, right? If you looked at doing that in the school bus scenario, you're limiting your 70-passenger bus down to about 17, 13. So with public health support, we were able to look at that, and we're able to decrease that distance a little bit by putting kids in cohorts, students that are perhaps brothers and sisters in the same family.
Oh, good. They won't fight on the school
they won't.
Bus ride. Don't worry about
I'm sure they're really happy about it. It's not like they don't see enough of each other.
Right.
But with air circulation and masks and different things, we're able to broach that 6 feet distance and decrease that a little bit.
I would think if you drove with the bus windows open.
Yeah, it helps a ton.
Do they open anymore?
They still
do,
yes.
You know how long it's been since I've been in a school
bus.
We've
got to take you down to the bus yard, Brian.
Yeah, well, it would not be a concern for me trying to wedge out, but yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Well, okay, we're muddling through the mud puddle this morning with Chris.
It's not even raining.
It's like we're out in the savannah after a rainstorm, huh?
I was going to say, and it's summertime in Humboldt.
Yeah.
There's no rain in sight.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, what is the state talking about? You know, because we've got the virtual learning thing, and I think there seems to be consensus that kids are slipping behind. And there's more of a separation going on. Okay, that's not comfy for anybody. Teachers are having to do things differently. Certainly, you know, teachers' aides aren't really much in play anymore. What is it going to look like now for the kids going through school and for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas having their kids go through school?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, there's so many different ways to cut that one up, right? So the typical term now is learning loss. We had the achievement gap years ago, right? Then we had the opportunity gap, and now it's learning loss. So
who'd have thunk the government would come up with a phrase?
It's just we it's either way, right? It's a gap of instruction that we're seeing not just in California, throughout this country.
Well, it's not slipping behind either. I would think it's loss.
It's loss. That's why learning loss.
Yeah.
So, but there's still issues of equity around that learning loss, which kind of is what the achievement gap was all about. An equity issue. And the issue that this state is really looking at and in our county that's really relevant for us is around the digital divide. Digital access, technology access, equitable opportunities to use the internet for your lessons, for distance learning that teachers are providing. I think that is going to be an issue for students as we continue through this. We know that this is not a short-term situation, right? I mean, it hasn't been since March, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. So I think, you know, learning loss goes a couple of directions. One is schools and what they're able to actually provide through distance learning. But the other is the, you know, the access that students actually have to the good quality and distance learning curriculum and instruction that's going on. So for our county, that's an area of advocacy that we'll continue to work on, is to ensure our districts have the right technology. But with that said, the solutions for access out in our real rural areas isn't an overnight solution, because you got to get the broadband out there. You got to get the infrastructure, which we're still really lagging behind. But I think that makes that more urgent than ever, that we got to continue advocating and pushing hard for that.
Well, maybe it'd be, you know, I think UPS seems to find everybody all over the place in the world, right?
They do.
Send them the equivalent of a floppy disk, or I guess
well,
now
USB.
Flat sticks. Yeah.
Yep. In fact, Southern Humboldt School District, you know, I give them, applaud their creativity. That's what they've worked hard to get students devices like Chromebooks or something like that, and that they're providing their curriculum on a USB, on a thumb drive, you know, and so, hey, that's a pretty creative solution. Yeah.
There's not a lot of back and forth, but that's okay.
That's true.
You still get the material.
It's not, yeah, exactly.
How different, let's say you've got a kid going to fifth grade. Okay. Pick a school, Humboldt County. How different is the curriculum at school 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Is there a wide difference, or they tend to be kind of in the same, within the same boundaries,
sure,
and then emphasis perhaps?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the state of California has standardized curriculum. So fifth grade English, for instance, or whatever, has the
equivalent of that, yeah.
It has the standards that you're supposed to teach to. So that provides consistency throughout the state. Where it's unique and individualized is how you're going to deliver those standards. So that's up to each teacher, each school site, on here's what you're going to cover. Now, how you choose to cover it is where the independence and the difference will come from some one school to another.
I was thinking, with the inefficiencies that are there because of this virtual scenario, if there was like a library that the kids could go to, if, you know, they may not be available. Or,
sure.
Kind of like the old SRAs. I think we were talking about them last time. You check off that module, you go to the next one, you go to the next one. But it's all kind of taught the same way, so that the teachers then, if they have to go individualized, aren't doing 48-hour days.
Absolutely.
Because the curriculum presentation is all taken care of. Now they're more of a mentor or a counselor rather than providing the teaching function.
Yeah, and how do you monitor how much time students are spending online doing their curriculum? There's that too, right? So
if you bust through it and I struggle, you shouldn't have to spend too much time on it.
Well, then that's part of the innovation that has to come along with this.
Go to the next module,
right? How do you allow that? How do you differentiate for students who are able to move quicker versus those that aren't? And, you know, in a classroom, that's challenging enough when you're doing it in person. So you have to build those kind of opportunities and flow charts in. So Brian gets through his module, and then, okay, he needs to go to a new direction. So
celebration throughout the neighborhood.
We're finally
cleared second grade. Now we're moving on.
Look at him. He's on fire. Yeah. And you get to do more work.
So reward.
It's a blend of what you'd call synchronous and asynchronous. So synchronous, spending time together with the teacher and the class online is important.
Yeah, the socializing.
Absolutely. That's an important element of distance learning. It's not all just here, plug and play. Here, disappear into your online curriculum and have fun and doing it by yourself, right? We have to find ways to have some interaction and some Socratic dialogue as a high school teacher. You can do that online very easily if you're prepping for it and you've got the right tools.
Could there be a model, Chris, where there was, I'm thinking, you know, with the lack of fall sports, okay, most of the high schools have got facilities, most of the junior high schools have got facilities available that could be repurposed during that situation, and perhaps that's
for some larger class sizes.
Jump off, when we come back. It's 8:30.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, the concept of getting classes together, because we've got all these gyms all over the place, and we've got these things called parks, and playgrounds and places like that, wouldn't it kind of sort of make sense for that socialization part? I really, the Zoom thing for me is not social. I mean, it's nice to see buddies' faces and stuff, but it's not the same. It's not there, and it after the first 2 weeks of, hey, is this cool? Now it's almost frustrating.
Yeah, I think, one thing we found and we continue to find is that folks are extremely creative and absolutely resourceful. And we've talked about the three main components to this deal before: teaching and learning, being a hub, right? This is kind of what we're talking about with that. Health and safety, obviously, is a big one, and resource and finance. And that none of the work we're doing right now, you have to do all three. You have to think in all three areas. Because resource and finance is facilities, right? Infrastructure. So how can we make our teaching and learning as engaging as possible using the resources that we have? And maybe we have to start looking at things in a different way, like the gym. The gym is typically used for gym activities, but schools have used them for years for big old standardized testing. We pack them in there when we can, or if we have an assembly or a public meeting if you need to. So yeah. Can it be a classroom? Of course. We've got some schools I know that are doing some real creative stuff around outdoor learning modules.
Yeah, we think like biology or
environmental,
something like that.
Absolutely, environmental science units that are outside. So schools are doing that. They're definitely looking to those opportunities. And any time that you can bring folks together in a way that addresses the health and safety component and everybody has those standards is a good thing right now, no question about it.
Yeah, I suppose part of the – well, okay, on your second dimension there, you probably need to put parents.
Well, they're in
how do the kids get there? How do they get back? If they're little guys or if they're olders, all that kind of.
Part of your resources, thank
you. Yeah. Is that
transportation?
Resource?
Well, yeah, transportation goes in there, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of cool that the lid has been blown off. It's kind of sad that the reason why the lid has been blown off.
Yeah,
that's
well said.
To be able
well
to
said.
Think about different. Yeah. Yeah. Different approaches to it. I mean, we've talked about the agrarian model being kind of antiquated for a long time in education. Yep. This now is saying, okay, what are you talking about? Oh, you want to go out in the field? Okay, let's take a field trip then.
Well, I do think that when we get through the fog of this thing, we start to come out the other side. We're going to see some things in education that we'll never repeat, and we'll have some innovations, I hope, that will continue to stick. And we'll be, stronger for it.
I think every industry is going to be doing that, right?
I mean, we absolutely have to be better at the end of this. And as we launch back into what normalcy is going to look like, it's going to be pretty exciting, the things that we've developed through this process.
Where are you with the food service and the nutrition programs? Are the
districts
those continuing to be able to plunk along? Have they obviously, they've had to make some changes because.
Well, I'll tell you, right out of the gate back in March, our districts in Humboldt County absolutely crushed it around food service because one of the mandates from the governor was to continue to provide food services to students. So we're going to close down. He said, okay, you're
not virtual
do
that. Food for
not virtual food, okay. Not microwave food,
here's
real food here.
Yeah.
And so the districts here locally just did a tremendous job and they'll continue providing those services. And I know in McKinleyville Union up north, they continue to provide some of that over the summer as well as I think a few other districts that just aren't coming to mind right now. But yeah, food service has been ongoing and they got creative around how to deliver it. So whether it was on buses going to their bus routes and families would come and pick up food there or as a drop-off locations or families would come to the school sites. Either way, we found ways to get the food out to the students and the families, and that's a real win.
It might be kind of cool for a way for a teacher to get to know their kids.
Deliver the food. Well, I know that
once
a lot of times.
Twice. I mean, they probably know a lot of them anyway.
Yeah, I remember talking to some various administrators who, hey, I'm jumping on the bus at least once a week, and I go out and I get to see the kids in a safe manner and say hi to the families. And it was the social, it was a way to connect socially, was around delivering food. And that's awesome.
Well, we always know food brings people together, right?
So it always works for me.
Yeah. I'll be there. Okay. I might even be there early.
That's right. That's right. For sure.
Oh. So the facilities that you guys operate also, you've got the conference center across the way. You've got your fleet. There's a lot of those types of things that people may not see at the first level because it's not their kid's school.
That's
or
right.
Or their neighborhood school.
Right.
How's that protocol change, other than you guys are probably going through a whole bunch of the wipes also?
Well, I mean, cleaning. So it goes back to that health and safety and resources coming together. You know, we are constantly looking at innovative ways to clean. And as we start to offer more on-site delivery, you have to think about things completely different. So my philosophy that we use around the office a lot is clean yourself in and clean yourself out. So when you go into something, you clean in and you clean on the way out. And it's so because you
thought that was a dietary advisory.
Yeah. No, well, not that kind of cleaning, but just a mindset change and a mindset of thinking that, okay, I could be contagious at all times and I have to take care of that personally. So there's a personal responsibility. There's the issue of employees and students doing the self-checking that needs to become part of routine and procedure. So your temperature, your symptoms, doing that little symptom check for yourself.
Is that
all these things are important to identify and will help us get through this quicker.
I thought that perhaps one of the legacies is going to be the temperature, you know, the little thing at each classroom door as the kids are coming in, you know, roll call, whatever it happens to be. Boom, 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 boom. If somebody has a temperature, okay, here's your mask. And that's just normal.
Yeah. The standards now are masks are required for all students above the second grade. So masking is going to be is a requirement.
But push it out 5 years.
And the temperature piece around self-monitoring, I think, is really where the sustained change will be. We don't want our teachers standing by a door checking temperatures every day.
Well, no, if the kids can do it themselves.
That's exactly right, though. But that becomes a part of our procedure. Like our routine is, how am I feeling today before I go off to school?
Yeah.
And the more we do that together and collectively, we'll get through this pandemic, but we might be better off for it for the typical flu and the typical cold and all the things that we battle anyway.
I mean, I'm glad you didn't say normal.
I didn't say normal.
Oh, we had somebody last week who had a tough time saying normal. It was normal. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop with Mr. Chris Hartley. Ooh.
Hey, look at that sound effects, folks. Yeah. Those are live. You didn't even use the soundboard.
That's right. Hey. All right, now you got clapped, too.
There you go.
Total applause.
Well, I think I'm done for the day. This is great. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, it doesn't get a whole lot better, huh?
The golf clap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yesterday. Wasn't that cool? The kid from Berkeley won the PGA over in San Francisco. That's just cool.
That's got to be a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, because I guess his some of the kids from his golf team from a couple years ago were there.
That's awesome.
Somehow they were able to, you know, they were volunteering and helping out. Yeah.
Yeah. Social distance.
I guess.
Oh, that's good.
So what are going to be your milepost markers here in the next, I'll give it 6 weeks. Either things are going good, things aren't going good, you need to rescue somebody, jump in. And I know that it's a weird relationship, but if you see a train wreck coming, you're going to jump in, whether the school board sees it or not.
We're working hard on that and keeping communication going. The big things that we've built some strong partnerships with public agencies, like public health plays a massive role in this, obviously. right? It's their call when it comes to health and safety standards and what we're able to do and not do. And so keeping that going, keeping communication flowing, having opportunities. We meet weekly with all the district superintendents every Wednesday afternoon. We have a weekly meeting, and we talk about a variety of things there, from different types of services and programs that can help everybody, all the way to them just hearing each other and helping each other come, you know, problem solve. And so the power
that's a free flowing.
It's, yeah, I have
an
agenda.
If somebody has an issue, they can share it.
They can work with me, and we'll get it on the agenda. But it's a pretty packed agenda. We did it all summer long. So that's very unusual. We've never done that before, but it's been necessary.
A lot of planning going on.
And people are coming. Yeah. You have a meeting and everybody keeps showing up. You're like, there's a need for it. And so that's kind of how we've adjusted to that, and we'll continue to do those things as well, for sure.
Will parents see different? Obviously, they're not dropping their kids off at school.
Well, I think, you know.
Or in some schools, they're not dropping them off.
That's right. Some they are.
What will those that are open, what are they going to experience that is different?
Well, I would say the distance learning work will be different than it was when we shut down in March, because that was very reactionary, very sudden, right? Some people called it crisis instruction, because it was. We were in a crisis, and teachers were backpedaling. We were all everybody's backpedaling to try to figure out how are we going to keep this continuity of learning moving forward. So you would see a different delivery model around the distance learning going into this fall, for sure. Schools have been prepping, you know, through the summer. I was talking to you during the break about the county office's distance learning sessions that we have for professional development. You know, we offered three separate sessions, and they filled up really quick. And so we're going to have to look at finding some time to be able to offer some more. So, you know, that's going to be an ongoing effort.
Is the hardware out in the kids' hands?
It depends. It depends where you're at. And those are the areas that are important for us to find the gaps of where that's not, and making sure we shore that up. So I was on the conversation at the state level on Friday afternoon, actually. I've got some news I hope to release soon about getting some funding that I think is pretty promising that can give us more devices in Humboldt County. So we're working on those angles constantly.
Step by step, baby.
One step at a time.
Watch
Ryan.
What you're stepping into.
I'll tell you about it next month.
All right. Fair enough. See everybody tomorrow.